to the book 3 John, the third letter from John. We'll be reading 3 John, verse 4. Now hear God's word. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you again for drawing us here. Thank you, Lord, that we can be here together safely. Keep us safe, Lord, we pray. And may this evening, this devotion on your word be pleasing to you and a joy to us. Grant me, Lord, a fidelity and a faithfulness in your word. We ask, Lord, that you would forgive us of our sins and grant us repentant and forgiving hearts and hearts that put others before ourselves. And we, Lord, know that you are in command of all things. And for that, we are so grateful. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. So building upon really what Pastor Needham was talking about this morning regarding prayer and taking prayer seriously. And by the way, I didn't know that that was what he was going to preach about. And I selected this topic really for a couple reasons. One, it's a topic near and dear to Debbie and I, as we been blessed with 4 grandchildren now, and we're grateful for that, as our prayers for our children growing up have been answered with them marrying godly, believing women, and that their faiths, our sons' faiths, continue to grow. And it also came about because Peggy asked me about praying for our children. And that was born out of a comment that Tom McManus made during a sermon a while ago about, do we take the time and take the initiative to pray for our children, particularly praying for them to not be burdened by our sins of the past and by our failings? I heard recently about a father, and it was on. I was listening to a discussion about prayer, and so here's the account. This father prayed fervently for his children throughout the years that they were growing up. He especially prayed for their spiritual well-being, often using the prayers that are found in Scripture by the Apostle Paul, particularly as a guide. One day, a boyfriend of his 18-year-old daughter, a young man who was experiencing some very serious difficulties in his life, said to her, "Everything just seems to go so well in your life. How come?" And her answer, when he said, "I just don't understand it," she answered him and said, "It's because of my father's prayers." Can you imagine the joy in a father's heart when he hears of such things? She reported the conversation to him. As a matter of fact, he wept for joy, knowing that God had honored his prayers for her, that his daughter would come to recognize that God's blessing in her life was a result of his work, not hers. Her comfort and her success and whatever she was feeling or sensing as a blessing was a gift from God. The Apostle Paul, who was like a father to those who had come to faith in Christ in Colossae, he prayed faithfully for his spiritual children. He offered a very wonderful prayer that's a great model for us, found in Colossians 1, 9 through 12. So let's take a look at that, Colossians 1, 9 through 12. notice I'm going old school here with the, left my iPad at home. Still works though, don't they? The books still work good. So Paul writes in Colossians 1:9-12, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, and to that and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transformed us to the kingdom of His beloved Son." I went to 13 there, but you can see in that model the structure and the items with which Paul specifically asks to be laid upon, imbued in, blessed to these children in Colossae, these new believers. And this is a great one for us to pray for. Now, I realize that when we pray for our children, whether they're adult children or very young children, those prayers will change over time. But it is fully necessary and fully our responsibility to continue continuously in prayer for our children. For they will be presented with the different phases of challenges, the different aspects of sin, the different threats in the world, the different areas of evil that are going to come upon them. And we have to continue to pray for them. Faithful intercessory in prayer will help our children and our grandchildren live lives worthy of the Lord, to grow in their knowledge of Him, to have power to joyfully endure the trials. So if we make the commitment to faithfully pray for our children and grandchildren, so what should we pray? So I want to offer you a bit of an outline of that, and then a bit of a discussion at the end. First, as Paul writes here, pray that they will be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Verse 9 says that we ask God to give you a complete understanding of what He wants you to do in your lives. He asks them to make wise and spiritually wise decisions and gain understanding. So pray that they will be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Now, I think, often I know I do, I go right to the kind of the closing moment or the closing deal. You know, pray for them to be saved or pray for them to believe. And I've become convicted that while that's what I want for my peace of mind or for my comfort, I see in Paul's structure here a different method. So I submit to you that the first one to pray for is that they be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Pray that our children and our grandchildren have a rich and full knowledge of what God wants them to do. Not simply head knowledge, just to be memorized in the catechisms or things like that, but actually knowing and trusting Jesus as their Savior. Now, we ultimately want them to accept that or to understand that or to embrace that. But let's pray for them to have that knowledge revealed to them. And that knowledge comes from the Holy Spirit. Wisdom is the ability to see things from God's point of view. And having wisdom and an understanding grants them an insight to God's will. We want our children and grandchildren to know God, to be wise, and to understand spiritual things. The next thing I'd offer to you in what Paul gives here is pray that they will live lives worthy of the Lord. That they will live in a way that honors God. That they will seek to continue to do good, be kind to others, put others before themselves. We want our children and grandchildren to lead lives that reflect the huge, unmeasurable investment that Christ has made in us, in His sacrifice. We are His workmanship. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us and then created us anew in Christ. We want our children and grandchildren to mirror Christ and to lead their lives in a truly honoring way to the Lord. We are of a great value in building His kingdom, and generation upon generation we're charged to pass this knowledge along. It's not that we have the knowledge particularly, it's that we point to the knowledge in Scripture. We should be praying faithfully that our children and grandchildren come to know God and live worthy of His calling in their lives. Thirdly, we should pray that they want to live lives pleasing to the Lord. That would be their desire. That they should live in obedience to His commands. This is a primary desire for us. How are we an example of that to them? Because that's the example that they look to. We're often the closest ones to them in this. How are we an example of living a life pleasing to the Lord? It's not about how smart we are, or how wealthy we are, or how prosperous we are, or how we look. It's really how we live, how we act. The primary thing that disciples of Christ need to learn is really laid up in that Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. Christ tells us this. I would submit to you that prayer is pivotal in seeing that happen in the lives of our children and grandchildren. We don't have the power to do this without God's grace. We don't have the power to even think these things without the working of His Holy Spirit. So in our prayers, we should give thanks for that. Because we wouldn't know what to say. We wouldn't know what to do. The fourth thing I would submit to you to pray for our children and grandchildren is that they will bear much fruit. God produces fruit on the earth through Spirit-filled believers. It's in Galatians 5, 20-23, where it speaks about the Holy Spirit controls our lives, and He will produce this kind of fruit in us. The fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So what are these fruits that we're talking about? The fruit of a repentant spirit. The fruit of diligence. The fruit of patience. The fruit of thanksgiving. Are these all things that we are giving as an example to them? Are these all aspects of our life that point towards more than just lip service in our prayers, but point towards our behaviors? In Philippians 1:11, it states that you may always be filled with the fruit of your salvation. These good things that are produced in your life by Christ Jesus, does this bring much glory to God and praise to God? Are the fruits of the Spirit evident in your prayer life? Are they evident in the life that you lead with your children and grandchildren, in your actions, in your words? You know, oftentimes I will tell you, am self-deceived when I think that just my lectures or talking or whatever I'm doing with my sons is really where the lesson is. The lesson is them observing me. And when those two things aren't aligned, I'm failing them. I'm not bearing good fruit for them. Showing a thankful spirit with a knowledge of self and understanding of self and our sin nature, showing self-control, perseverance, brotherly kindness, putting others before yourself. These are the things that are observable by us. So when we have interactions with a family member, whether it's a child, whether it's a sibling or a friend, when we have these interactions, are we mindful of what we've been praying for and how we're behaving? Are we mindful of that connection? It's so easy, and I say this easy in the sense that it's somewhat simple, to offer up our fervent, heartfelt desires for someone's salvation or for someone to move away from an evil practice or from someone that we care about who is falling into sin. And then after the amen, we do maybe not the same thing, but certainly similar things. Is that a stumbling block to our prayers? Is that really showing a knowledge of God that leads to self-control? Does it lead to the endurance to run the race? Does it lead to a genuine love for them and others? See, denying self is a true marker of loving another, putting others before yourself. I've learned more and more to try to discern the difference between my conscience and opinion and my ego. It's very difficult for me. But I would submit to you that if you pursue that in yourself, it'll lead to an element of genuine love, and it will also lead to an element of productivity in your relationships. It is a useful knowledge to have in yourself when you're trying to and when you're endeavoring to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Developing that virtue, working on that understanding of self, will help pull away the scales from your eyes. And help me. It helps me to put off the old and seek to put on the new. The next thing I'd submit to you is praying that our children will grow in grace and knowledge of God intimately in their life. It's having a relationship with Christ, a personal relationship, where you know Him and He knows you. It's knowing that what comes through the Spirit of wisdom will benefit you in being an instrument in His plan. So that prayer should be that our plans would be in line with His plans. That our wants would be in line with His wants. having no knowledge of God's plan can be another great stumbling block. So pursue that. And pursue that in His Word. You know, it's a wonderful thing, a wonderful connection we have, a few of us here. Simon sends out that, sometimes you're up very early, Simon. He sends out that text that has scripture. It's a program in the that we've got on our iPhones, and it gives the verse of the day. And invariably, it's the timing's perfect, and the verse is always spot on, because is there any scripture that doesn't have application in your life every day? No, it's the whole counsel of God. It has application every day, if you have eyes to see it. So the more we can know Him, the more in our prayers we can reflect that knowledge, and the more in our lives we can reflect that important part of it to our kids and grandkids. Would you agree, I'm going to guess, that for me to be able to invest time in, I don't want to say her name because she's here, in a little blonde grandchild, right? I need to get to know her. She's learning language now. And she's got it about 75-80% of the word. You know, some of them are very clear, some are not. Not so clear. But I'm investing that time in getting to know what she's saying. I'm learning that about her. Why? Oh, I love her. I want to get to know her. But I also want to be part of her life. I need to invest that same time in the Word so that I can know Him, so that I can be invested in Him, and that Him being Christ. The next thing I'd submit to you is praying that our children and grandchildren will be strengthened by the power of the truth. Our verse today is one that, as in our hallway wall, we're now getting these pictures of all the kids, the grandkids. And Deb found a picture frame or a framed piece that reflects that statement in 3 John. Let me go there again. 3 John 4. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in truth. Praying that our children will be strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit. Praying that those in our lives that we care about that are unbelievers, that they will be strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because you can see, I think you can agree, that in their lives, if we don't see a witness of a faith, it's because the power of sin is controlling them. And we need to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to control them. That's a specific prayer. Again, in Colossians, in verse 11, he prays, we also pray that you will be strengthened with His glorious power, that you will have all patience and endurance, and the endurance you need, and that you may be filled with joy. I think it's appropriate to occasionally pray, or just sometimes, I don't know how often, pray that maybe someone who is wandering from the truth would be corralled back. Think of the prodigal son. Right, that they would be spending that time in the pigsty, and that would be terrible for them, so much so that they would return. And yet here, also, I'm not saying it's an either or here, I think it is an also, that we can pray that that power would build in them, would take ownership of them, that power of the Holy Spirit, and that they would be filled with joy. Because the human side of me, of us, is that we want our children and grandchildren to experience joy. That's a genuine, fervent desire. Our children and grandchildren need the power of the Holy Spirit as an effective witness in their life. They need the power of our Redeemer in order to deal with all the flaming darts that are going to come at them. They need that power to glorify God. Next, and this is a particular one that means a lot to me because having raised our sons here in this church, seeing them sit in the pews and then they go off, it's praying that they will endure when tested. Praying that our children will endure and that our grandchildren will endure when tested. Whether it's they're being tested by the fact that they're being asked to brush their teeth and go to bed and they don't want to, or they're being tested and tempted by something at school when they're away from you. You know, the faith is somewhat misleading when you see it in them sitting next to you in the pew. The real faith comes when they're being tested in the world. Or that the real faith, I misspoke, the real evidence of their faith comes when being tested in the world. Trials and temptations of their faith will test them, but it will also strengthen them, like a tempering. Knowing that it's not about them succeeding in the test, but about them reflecting Christ in their life and reflecting their understanding of the inworking of Christ in their life. As it says in Scripture, about that we're not fighting against people made of flesh and blood only, or at all, but against the evil rulers and authorities, and against those mighty powers of darkness in the world and wicked spirits. That's what they're fighting against. Trials are intended to strengthen a faith and to result in that coming out the other side of that test, honoring God and glorifying Him. God will sustain and protect our children and grandchildren through our prayers, I believe. God's protection is a hedge around us. It can drive away evil. It can strengthen us when we are weak, when our knees are weak. Jesus prayed for the protection of His disciples. Lastly, let us pray that our children and grandchildren will joyfully give thanks to God. That they are conscious of God's blessing in their life. That they are secure in God's love and His power. That they show a thanksgiving and a gratefulness and an attitude towards other people in their lives, not of a high-minded, I got it and you don't type person, but in a, I'm grateful to be here and a witness to you type person. That we would have in them reflected God's sacrifice on our behalf through Jesus Christ. That joy would be an echo in our ears with glad hearts and with a sense of their closeness with their Savior. When we pray, particularly for those we believe are lost or that are not showing any particular understanding or embracing of the faith, I want you to be encouraged to pray that God's will would be done. We don't know why. We don't fully understand how, but we do know that God is faithful and that His plan is perfect and that He is the Good Shepherd, our Savior. Nothing slips through His fingers. We may not be allowed to see it ourselves. They may not be allowed that. And as much as our hearts want to see that prodigal son or daughter come home, or that good friend be turned, as much as we want to see that for our comfort, that may not be the plan. And we have to accept that. And we have to not lose heart. And we have to keep on praying. Because we don't know. Our country, interestingly, this past week or so, did something quite unusual. Hadn't done it, it's only done it 4 times. And that is having a civilian, when they die, lie in repose, as they call it, not lie in state because they weren't a state official, in the Capitol. And what was remarkable to me in listening to it on the various newscasts, speaking of Billy Graham's death, over and over again, they just kept pointing to how Billy Graham didn't spend time in politics. He just kept pointing people unabashedly to Christ. When he was, an example was, and they tried to draw him into the debate regarding schools taking prayer out of schools or taking the Ten Commandments off something. They said, well, what do you think about them taking God out of schools? And he would say, that's not my concern. I'm more concerned with them not seeking God in their lives. You see, God and all these other institutions are being reflected is just a manifestation, is just a result of our country showing how God is in our lives. And he was not bashful to say that to anybody. He was not bashful to say that to the Jew, to the Muslim, to anyone else. But he spoke about it in a way that drew people in through his humility. The prodigals will come home. Trust in that. Trust in that. In the Luke 15 passage about the prodigal son. That's a passage that's not so much about that prodigal son as it is about the father and what else goes on around that and the feast. Now that was a father who was given that gift of seeing them come home as an example. But again, that's not the important part there, I think, that he saw the son come home from afar and threw him a great feast. But that he was vigilant in his prayer for his son. We knew that the prodigal son blew it, was finally down eating with the hogs in the inn, came home. There's an entire learning there about what the brother did, how the brother reacted. Again, it's more focused on what goes on in that family, the believing side of the family. And yet, we do see that the focus of the parable wasn't on the son's actions, it was on a compassionate father, a compassionate parent. So are we that kind of parent in prayer? Are we praying for our children fervently, that they would gain the knowledge of God, that they would understand Christ's work in their lives, that they would seek to serve Him well and faithfully, and that they would overcome the threats of this world through the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. That they will be good examples to others, that they will be a sacrificial example to others in their lives. So I have seven quick things I want to click through very quickly to help specifically pray. One, that Jesus will call them and that no one will hinder them. Two, that they will respond to the faith in Christ alone through the Holy Spirit. Three, that they will experience in their lives a life of sanctification through that transforming spirit, that transforming work of the Holy Spirit, and will increasingly desire to fulfill God's commandments. Four, that they will not become unequally yoked in their relationships. Five, that their thoughts would be pure. Six, that their hearts would be stirred to give generously to the Lord's work. They'd want to serve the church. Seven, and lastly, that when the time is right, they will be that witness to one other person that points to Christ. To one other person. Maybe it's their child. Maybe it's a friend at work. Maybe it's their spouse. I don't know. But at that tough moment, they will be the one that points to Christ. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you and praise you for drawing us to yourself and giving us this time.